Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the first of a series on the issue of atheism. The reason we are addressing the issue of atheism today is because in the 21st century and towards even during the entire 20th century, issue of atheism has taken a big toll on the thinking, the thoughts, the rationale of many people. Many movements have started and they were in nature atheistic, but they took different forms, things like secularism, feminism, objectivism, all of these types of movements that have started in the, especially in the 20th century and now continue today, they are particularly part of atheism. Now, before I go there, I would like to shed light on how Islam and the Quran dealt with the issue at the beginning when Quran and Islam was revealed. It's ironic that when Quran addressed the people of Mecca who believed in multiple gods, who believed in all forms of religions, Quran did not address the issue of atheism per se. It did address the unity of God. It did not address the existence of God at the beginning. It did address, however, the role of a God, the main role of a God, of being a lord, of being a sustainer, of being a maintainer, of being someone who provides rules and regulations rather than one who exists or not. Although in reality, along the process of the revelation of the Quran, there were many occasions and instances where Quran did address the issue of atheism in the sense of the existence or non-existence of God the Creator. It did address that, but it was not the main issue. And it's found quite often in the Quran, the notion where the Quran would say, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and I will translate, if you ask these people who indeed had created the heavens and earth, their response will be Allah or God the Creator. That's a natural response. So atheism was not a major issue. In fact, if I look at the history of mankind in general, the history that is known to us going to maybe 5,000 years BC before Christ, going back to the Greek philosophies, going back to the Roman philosophies, going back to medieval ages, we'll find that atheism was not a major issue. It did exist in sporadic events, even in Greek philosophies. If I look at the old Greeks, when they started addressing issues of atheism, it was not an issue that had to deal with existence of God or non-existence of God. Rather, it did address the issue of morals and ethics, meaning that atheist is someone who would deny certain set of morals or values, or the religious set of values, if you will. That was the issue of which was addressed by many of the philosophers in Greece. Some of them, though, did address or did come up with the notion of atheism as being anti-God or no God. For example, the first atheist in the Greek philosophies, which is attributed to someone, to the Democritus, and some of his colleagues and some other philosophers, they spoke about the chance or probabilistic nature of things, that the way things are created, the way things evolve, the way things come in order, it's all because of a chance. It's a chance, it's probabilistic, it is not a design. So they were looking at the issue of design as being the main core idea of religion, of theism, if you will, or the existence of God, being the issue of order and design. So they were looking at the issue, no, in reality, the world does exist by chance. So that was one of the first notions of atheism in all the Greek philosophies. In the meantime, existed some form of philosophers whom I would term as a neutralist. A neutralist means someone who would say, you know what, I don't have a proof that God does not exist. Also, I don't have a proof that he exists. So these philosophers, a few of them did exist, who spoke about neutrality, meaning whether God exists or does not exist, there is no solid proof. Then there existed also in all the Greek philosophies some people who talked about whom I would term as separationists, the ones who would separate the existence of God with the order, meaning that, okay, let's say that God exists, so no one is going to deny that or even argue about it, but the argument is God does not or should not or would not interfere in the affairs of people. These are the type of people who are really who want to separate between God and the reality. Similar to these people are the those philosophers who existed in the post-French or European revolutions, who spoke about the separation of church and the state. Now, in the Islamic time era, which comes before the European medieval ages or even through the same era of the European medieval, when Islam was progressing and Islamic philosophers and thinkers, there did exist people and philosophers in Islam who talked and argued about the issue of atheism and anti-atheism. Now, that does not mean that there were people who are promoting atheism at large, but because those were theoretical ideas that did exist in the past, so Muslims did address these issues, like Abu Bakr al-Razi, Ibn Rumi. Even some people thought that because these people are addressing atheism, that means they have their notions of atheism anyway. But in reality, even the philosophers, Muslim philosophers, who spoke in absolute abstract sense about atheism, they were not atheist in nature. And going even to the later in the European ages after the revolution, the era of enlightenment, there did exist now some philosophers in France, especially the first one was Jean Mislier, who was a priest, the first person who really spoke bluntly against the existence of God, and he denied all gods of all religions, and his writings were the foundation of what we call modern atheism. Then followed suit Britain and Germany and many other places. Then came Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who brought the issue, is God dead or God is dead? Although some philosophers, they say Nietzsche never said that himself. He put it in a play where some of the characters in his play, they would use this term, God is dead. But nevertheless, the issue of atheism as being totally anti the existence of God started taking shapes in the 18th and 19th century in Europe. Until then, Marx came, and Karl Marx, who was economist in the first place, who had grievances against capitalism, and his theory of socialism being anti-capitalism or being a natural evolution of capitalism, if you will. Then Karl Marx came to the conclusion that what allows people to take on the sufferings of capitalism and not to stand up against the oppression practiced against them is religion of all types of religions. So he came to the conclusion that religion is nothing but the opium of nations. So that is a conclusion that Marx arrived at from his political economic analysis. But then being confined to this conclusion, finds himself in a position where he has to prove the fact that even religion should not exist in the first place, not only because it's the opium of religion, but because it's fake, because it's not a reality. So now, Marx takes on the school of what is called the movement of rationale, or the movement of free thought, something that was developed right after the French Revolution through many French philosophers. So he takes on this movement of rationale. Then he says, let's define what rationale is. Then he takes on the definition of rationale, which was first introduced by Hegel, the German philosopher. And he takes the definition of Hegel about rationale, he reverses that, and he comes to the conclusion that matter must exist before thought. And he asked the fundamental question, he called it the fundamental question of philosophy, what comes first, matter or thought? And then based on his definition of thought being the reflection of matter upon the brain, so he says if thought is the reflection of matter, so matter must exist before thought. And if thought exists before the brain, before the thought, if matter exists before the thought, that means matter is eternal. So the first time to address atheism in a very solid manner, bringing matter to eternality, actually addressing the real issue, whether matter is eternal or non-eternal, the existing being, the universe, the life, whatever exists in our life, in the world, whether that has eternal existence or not, Marx, he gave it a theoretical foundation, philosophical foundation, and he brought the definition of eternality. However, to be accurate here, Marx did not address eternality per se. Marx came to the conclusion of eternality, implying one of two things, either matter or thought must be eternal. So in principle, Marx, like all type of philosophers, absolutely without exception, did not deny the existence of eternality. So eternality per se is not an issue. No one has argued at any point of time that eternality does not exist. What the argument is, who is eternal? Marx brought the question, whether it's matter or thought. Of course, religion argues whether it's matter or God. In fact, religions in the past, especially Christianity and Judaism, did not have this argument. Islam did bring this argument, as I will speak about it later, that Islam did bring the issue of eternality between God the Creator or matter, the existing being. So this historical perspective, I wanted to point that and to show that the number one, atheism is not a mainstream in the lifetime of man. In the history of mankind, atheism is sporadic. It existed every now and then in some philosophers. The only time atheism took a more fundamental direction was during Marx, and later on when the Soviet Union or the country which was built upon the Marxism and Leninism, which was built in the Soviet Union, it officially declared atheism as being something scientific, something concrete, anti-religion, and they actually stood firmly against all notions of religion. So this was the first time in the history of mankind where atheism took a more political direction, more fundamental direction, and it did exist only for a short period of time. Albania, by the way, in 1967 was the first country in the history of stateshood in general that declared the state is an atheist state. It's an atheist state. Even the Soviet Union was not declared an atheist, it was a secularist. But mind you, secularism is another form of atheism. It hides behind it, it's a secularism. The interface to humanity, to people, is called secularism. The reality behind that is atheism, just like, as I mentioned, the feminist movements, most of the time are atheist. However, they come up in the form of defending the women right. But going back to the idea I was trying to pursue, that atheism has never been a major issue in the history of mankind. It's not an issue that boggles the thought and the mind of people. People in general, mainstream people, whether they were Greeks or Romans, whether they were Arabs or Persians, whether they are Africans or Latins or Latinos, whether they were from the European race or the non-European race, have always taken the idea of the existence of God as a given. Whether they had the proof for that, the rational proof, or they did not, they had the feeling, the instinctual feeling, that a God, an entity, a deity of Godship, if you will, exists one way or another. They had all types of problems in having perspective. What is their perspective on God? What is the role of that God in their life? Who is going to rule on behalf of God? Who is going to cheat the people on behalf of God, if you will? All of these took different diverse direction. Those are facts. And religions have come in general not only to assert the fact that God exists, but to let the people know what is the correct form of religion, what is the perspective on God should be. Because those perspectives on God, the notion of who God is, what can he do, what he does for the people, those things are beyond the metaphysic of the people. These are beyond the rational. Those do not even fall within the instincts or the rationale of the people. So it is accepted. It is not surprising to see that people may not understand the essence of God and his interactions and relations with the world, and therefore there is a warrant for messengers and prophets who would come to correct the notions that the people have about gods. But in general, the issue of the existence of God has never been a serious issue. Nevertheless, as I mentioned, in Islam does recognize the fact that there are people every now and then who would declare atheism. There are people every now and then who would not recognize the existence of God. Well, not only that, Islam also recognizes that for any person to be in a true good obedience or in a true good relation, if you will, to God, he must and he should understand the reality of the existence of God. So Islam, whether the people believe in God in the first place or don't, whether they accept it or reject it, Islam came to address the rational issue, the rational way of thinking and proving the existence of God. In fact, if you look at the Quran, as I mentioned at the beginning, although the issue of atheism was not a major issue that Islam wanted to address, but Islam did address the issue of the eternality of God and the non-eternality of matter, meaning attracting or drawing the attention of people to the fact that things are being created. Like in one of the chapters, one of the surahs in the Quran, where it says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Let them have a look, let them observe how the camels around them, of course the Arabs at the time in the desert, the most common things they see in the around them were the camels. Look at those camels. They are created beings. They cannot be eternal. Created means it does have a beginning in time. That's what created means. Also, the Quran talks about why don't people look up the heavens, see whether these heavens can sustain themselves on their own or they are created. Look at the mountains, look at the earth, look at the rivers, look at the wind, how it blows, at all of the things, look at the stars, at the sun, at the rotation of things, at the motion of things. So Islam did come to address this issue, and Islam did provide a significant factor on the rationale, on the reason, on the thinking process. And that is where the issue of atheism, as we look at it, the only, in my opinion and in the opinion of many people today in the world, that the only thinking process that can clearly state that the world does have a beginning and that eternality cannot be attributed to the being that we observe in our life, be it the universe, be it the life around us, being the people, be it the animals, be it all things that are tangible and that are that can be sensed with our own senses. All of these cannot be eternal. The rationale, the reason, the thinking process would lead to the fact that these things are not eternal, and therefore, if their existence does have a beginning, then there must be something else that had caused their existence, based on the theory or the fact. In fact, not only the theory, the fact of the cause and effect. There is no effect in the world that comes without a cause, and we look at the world around us as an effect, not as a cause. But to conclude this series, this first series, this session, this is not about the proof itself. This is about the notion that, look, atheism in reality is not a major issue, but nevertheless we address it because we don't want to leave any mind behind us. There is no brain or mind or human shall be left behind, whether it's the mind of Karl Marx, whether it's the mind of Engels, or the mind of Lenin, or Leninist or Marxist, or whether it's the mind of Dawkins, or the mind of another one. No mind should be left behind. We have to address all minds. Although we know for sure that the vast majority of the more than 6.5 billion people do admit and accept the fact that there is a God, a creator behind this world. And I would like to stop right here for this series. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.